Hello, and welcome to Fidelity Connects, connecting you to the world of investing and helping you stay ahead. We're joined today by portfolio manager Hyun Ho Son. Hyun Ho is a highly experienced portfolio manager based out of our office in London, England. For Canadian investors, he manages Fidelity Technology Innovators Fund. Today, Hyun Ho explains to host Pamela Ritchie the current dynamics of the growing tech industries and trends that may carry through to 2021. Hyun Ho also provides his outlook on major industries within technology, such as cybersecurity and electric vehicles, while also looking at current valuations of some of these major companies. Commentary surrounding COVID-19 and financial markets changes frequently. Today's podcast was recorded on September 25th, 2020. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Fidelity Investments Canada ULC or its affiliates. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice. It is not an offer to sell or buy, or an endorsement, recommendation, or sponsorship of any entity or security cited. Read a fund's prospectus before investing. Funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. Fees, expenses, and commissions are all associated with fund investments.
Welcome, Hyun Ho. Great to see you again.
Great to see you, Pamela.
Good to have you join us here today. I wonder if we can begin, Hyun Ho, with, let's set valuation aside for just a second, and various market risks. Is the tech sector's fundamentals broadly still intact through the virus, through the next volatility from the US election, for instance? Do the fundamentals just remain sound?
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite positive about technology stocks in the long-term perspective, you know, because of strong the fundamental. And simply speaking, you know, think about, you know, things happening around yourself. I mean, technology is being used, increasingly used every day as a consumer, you know, in the current environment, because people cannot contact, you know, frequently with other people. People want to stay, you know, connected digitally. So people, you know, do shopping online, e-commerce, and, you know, consumers, you know, in the form of digital entertainment, spending time more on the, you know, digital entertainment is growing. So that's consumer side. And think about, you know, corporates. I mean, I'm working from home, you know, everyone watching this, many people watching this, you know, webcast, also working from home. You know, companies are providing, you know, employees to work more flexibly. And even after COVID, I think the flexible working environment will stay with us. I mean, technology is key enabler for this flexible working environment. So consumer side, you know, corporate side technology is being used increasingly. That's why I'm, you know, quite bullish about the technology sector long term.
So long term. Okay, so interesting. So let's get into some of the short term, long term, medium term, some of the questions surrounding that, and particularly valuations. I mean, are you concerned? We've obviously seen the market pull back. We've seen these pullbacks. It's been a pretty bumpy ride this week and previous weeks. But by and large, valuations obviously are high. Does that give you pause, or how do you view that?
I mean, technology sector is quite diverse and many different characteristics. I mean, look at technology sector. You have new tech companies, old tech companies, large and small. Some grow really fast. Some are more mature, but generating earnings and cash flow. They were very different profile within tech sector. And overall, I think despite strong run, you know, year to date and the last few years, I think overall tech valuation looks still okay relative to earnings and cash flow that they're generating. And also people, you know, usually think about, you know, back in 1999, 2000 when IT bubble burst, people often compare, you know, today versus, you know, the IT bubble burst back then. And, you know, valuation wise, you know, companies are trading quite significantly lower multiple than what they were trading back then. And then fundamentally is much stronger. I mean, looking at the earnings and cash flow and the competitive advantage that they have. I mean, yeah, so fundamentally sound too.
So let's break some of those down. As you mentioned, I mean, there are very, very new tech companies that have seen extraordinary growth and there are other dynamics going on in the market. But, you know, e-commerce is something you mentioned a couple of different times there. Is there anything, I mean, where are you seeing too much optimism? Let's begin there and then we'll break it down into different areas. But are there areas of the market within the tech sector that do look overheated?
I mean, I talked about, you know, my positive view on tech sector overall, but I do have some concern about, you know, overheated sentiment in the market, which, for example, one example would be retail investor increasingly participating in the stock market. And the way retail investor participate and the way retail investor invest in stocks a little different from what, you know, our institutional do. So, for example, a retail investor as a consumer, for example, they love Apple product, they love Tesla. So they buy product and then they buy stocks as well. But they don't look at market opportunity, companies and earnings and valuation. So I think retail participating in the stock market, you know, kind of driving stock price above the fundamental value of stocks. And also, I mean, if I look at recent IPOs, there are lots of IPO coming in at very, very high the valuation. And, you know, IPO means new capital is flowing into the industry. When there is lots of new capital flowing in the industry, it tend to lead to less discipline in terms of capital management and returns. So, yeah, that's what is a little bit about, you know, sentiment and overheated, the market sentiment.
So how do you invest around that, knowing that that seems to be a fact? How do you get ready for that, invest around it? How does it change how you invest?
Yeah. The type of stuff, I mean, the way I invested in is, you know, I try to find the company that have very strong long-term fundamental, have sustainable earnings growth, but then, you know, undervalued by the market, that type of stuff that I like. So in the current environment, I still like large cap internet companies that have, you know, Amazon, Facebook, Google, Alphabet, Google, and Netflix, and those companies have unique business model and very strong moat in their own category, and revenue earnings continue to grow. And then valuation, looking at the valuation, they're not trading extreme valuation multiples. So, you know, I like that type of stocks. On the other side, some of the very high growth software companies, have good story, but sometimes those software start trading on 30 times earnings, which is very, very extremely high to my standard. And, you know, earnings and cash generation is quite poor at this point. So, you know, I do not like stocks that trade on like stories and themes. The earnings and cash flow doesn't support. So that's those kind of areas I try to avoid.
Tell us regionally how you see comparably good opportunities. China, I know, is a place that we spoke about last time, but there are other parts of the world, obviously, where you're looking. But do you see large, more mature companies where there are opportunities to invest, you know, across the globe?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of large, more mature company that have, you know, strong moat in their own business. You know, for example, companies like Oracle has been for a long time, and they have very strong product. And people think of them as challenged by a new cloud competitors, but then, you know, they, you know, successfully embracing new technology, continue to evolve, adapting themselves in the new environment. And looking at the earnings and cash generation is substantial, and then they substantial amount of their free cash flow they return back to shareholders. That's a good example of the mature companies continue to maintain their competitive advantage.
Right. Is the TikTok thing just a sideline story for you for that stock, or is it more fundamental?
I think TikTok issue is a bit tangential in our view. I mean Oracle is a very large company in terms of, think about source of revenue and earnings. TikTok is minor, but it is interesting. It has some interesting fundamental implication given TikTok might use Oracle's core technology that is pretty good validation of Oracle's cloud technology.
I wonder if this is the right moment just to go into a little bit on the discussion around regulation, and that seems to, you probably have scenarios around this, whether one candidate in the United States wins in the US election versus another. But in any case, the question of regulation, is it necessarily bad for all of the big tech companies to have regulation as an issue, or could that be okay for some?
I don't think regulation is necessarily bad. I think good regulation, I mean, to a certain extent, technology company themselves need regulation, need some guideline. And, tech companies want to comply with the new regulation and guideline. So I think that, overall tech industry is so new, so regulation, the lack of regulation also has been negative and noisy for the whole industry. But going forward, we're gonna see more regulatory scrutiny, a more clear regulatory guideline. I think that will be healthy for tech companies operating in this environment. People talk about splitting the big company, breaking up the big company. I don't think that is going to be necessarily bad. I mean, the companies like Amazon, they have very strong moat in e-commerce business and cloud business as well. If we think about scenario of splitting Amazon into two e-commerce and then the cloud computing, and the both each piece will be the winner in the long term. So that can be a good outcome for the shareholder in a long-term perspective.
Are there opportunities, Haiyan Ho, in countries that are sort of more of a local specific opportunity, that we're talking a lot about big global players, but are there some local opportunities as well?
Yeah, I think there are interesting local opportunity. I find it in the internet and media e-commerce space. Countries like Japan and Korea, there are, the local industry leader in e-commerce and digital advertising space that, understand local consumer needs much better, local environment much better. So those local leaders, service, the consumers in the countries is much better. So, for example, e-commerce leader like Rakuten in Japan, digital advertising leader Zet Holdings in Japan, those are, maintaining industry leading positions there. So that's where I'm investing in the fund.
Are some of the local leaders, I mean, I'm assuming this is probably true, but are some of the local leaders in countries that you see around the world, I mean, do they have aspirations of going global, or is it not necessary? I'm just curious whether it's more of a domestic story or if it can be international.
I think, those companies have ambition to grow more globally. But there's also a limitation, what they build in locally does not necessarily work in a global model. Their model has been in local, but they continue to try expand their opportunity globally.
Can we talk a little bit about the trade dynamic that we're obviously seeing between the United States and China? But, you know, to an extent, we're seeing echoes of this in countries across the world as well. So it's not just China and U.S. tensions. It's tensions that have created themselves. How do you look at that in terms of investment?
I think, you know, tension between U.S. and China, I think, has been escalating, and that's going to be ongoing dynamics. So tension won't ease. I think the outcome will be, you know, different countries and different the powers will want to build their own tech ecosystem, because tech is so important for from a national security perspective, whether it's the U.S. or whether it's, you know, China, whether it's EU. They want to build their own tech ecosystem. Good example will be semiconductors. So U.S. have, you know, superior you know, advantage in terms of designing semiconductor, but they are lacking the manufacturing facility within U.S. That's why, you know, Trump administration is supporting U.S. companies to build leading edge semiconductor manufacturing facilities in U.S. I mean, same thing will happen in China, in rest of Asia, and even Europe as well. So, you know, that will be, you know, long-term dynamics around, you know, geopolitical tension, implication on tech investing perspective. I try to identify company that can benefit from, you know, these superpowers are building and trying to build their own ecosystem. And one example will be semiconductor equipment space. The companies have very strong, you know, high entry barrier, and, you know, this is very high R&D intensive, the business. So this business can't be replicated. This semiconductor equipment company will help whether it's US or China and Europe, you know, companies to build their own tech ecosystem. So I think those semiconductor equipment manufacturers will be key beneficiary from this trend.
What does that mean then for players that are already global? Do they have to develop in order to operate in different ecosystems? Do they have to adjust?
I mean, those the global tech companies, for example, you know, ASML in Netherlands, which is by far the dominant you know, player in this market. Yeah, so their tools will be, because this you know, technology is used as a global standard, and those tools will be used globally, whether it's the U.S. or China and other areas. So, I mean, you know, that those kind of companies will, you know, structural the beneficiary from this trend.
But it's interesting that you in the fund, I guess, well, spell this out for you. Do you, in the fund, are you able to find new opportunities? Because in a sense, they'll be building towards different ecosystems. I mean, does that actually allow for more investments or more opportunities?
Yeah, from, I think that's incremental opportunity means, in more, in a sense that it's duplicating investment. Think about this in a globalization, more efficient supply chain. When those things work, versus what the companies are trying and the countries are trying to do. You know, if we need semiconductor facilities in U.S. and China and Europe separately, that means more investment going in this. The tech ecosystem. That's why those, you know, the provider for key building blocks, that those will be the beneficiaries.
Very interesting. A bunch of questions coming in here, some of which actually you've answered, but I think there's a performance chart that we've put up there. Maybe we'll just flash that up again. It was up a little bit earlier on. I'm going to ask you this question. When you take a look at that, there, everyone can, it speaks for itself. Is cybersecurity, here's one of the questions coming in from an advisor, becoming a bigger theme that you're seeing? Is that sort of probably maybe is related to the tensions that we're seeing globally? I don't know. But what about cybersecurity?
I think cybersecurity is very interesting and increasingly important from in the technology industry. But then difficult thing is it is difficult to find good investment opportunities because the cyber security threat landscape is very dynamic and constantly changing. So these cybersecurity company, continue to need to invest for new threat environment. Hence, R&D level intensity is structurally very high. Incumbent security company doesn't necessarily have incumbency advantage at dealing with new threat environment. And also because of, continuous changing in threat dynamics, customers continue to be need to update it and, continue to, there are a lot of, efforts need to educate the customer. So, selling and the marketing, market intensity is very, very high. So if you compare security software versus other software industry. So that's why, it's difficult to find, security company that scale profitably on a sustainable basis. Yeah. So that's the, from investment perspective, it's a little tricky.
It's a good question though. It's interesting to see sort of themes, but then investable themes that sometimes are not the same thing you obviously take into account in the fund. Let me ask you about electric vehicles. We talk a lot about, we saw a law passed in California this week that new purchases need to have elements of the zero emission side of things. Is this a takeoff moment for electric vehicles? Where are we in this story?
Yeah, I think it's a takeoff moment. The electric vehicle, I think, is a structural thing for the fund. And, the penetration is still quite early stage. I mean, there's a lot of electric cars in California and certain countries like China, electric vehicle has taken off. But in other countries, still the penetration is quite low, given, people are more environmental awareness than I think, the electric car has very a strong, growth outlook in the long term. And, type of stocks that I like, in terms of investing in electric, the vehicle themes, I like, space like, the power semiconductor, space or a sensor, space or, specialty chemical, specialty material, they make, system a lot more, efficient. So, that's where I'm investing in for, the electric, vehicle theme.
Interesting. And so it's not specifically in sort of the car maker space. It's more the components and what goes into them.
Yeah. Some of the key enabler of electric vehicle technology that I'm investing in.
There's a question coming in. I think you touched on it when you spoke about valuations, but just to go back in. So this advisor is asking, do you see comparisons between today and the tech bubble of 2000?
Yes, I did think a lot about this, and then I get a lot of data and compare today versus IT bubble, and it's clearly different. A few differences is if you look at the company in the index, top five, top 10 tech companies today versus the back in 2000. The companies today generate a lot higher earnings and cash flow, and if you compare relative to earnings and cash generation, today's big companies are trading much cheaper valuation multiple. So strong tech stock performance so far is largely driven by earnings and cash flow, not just the multiple. And one caution would be, if you look at concentration within the index, actually, you know, tech stock as percentage of, you know, top 500 total company, concentration wise, it look similar today versus what we saw back in the 2000 bubble. But then I would argue that, you know, technologies are much more, you know, increasingly used today, and application is much more wider today versus 2000. So why not tech sector can account for even higher the proportion of the economy versus 2000 bubble?
Are there a lot of new ideas being brought into sort of the tech universe that you look, new companies, new ideas, or is it a case of adoption of ideas that are already there, small companies that are already there? I mean, you and I were talking before we came on this webcast about lighting, you know, within web, everybody's doing their work online, different types of lighting for this new world. I don't know if that's an idea that people have crunched, but you know, are there new adjustments to this world that are generating new investable themes or things that you're watching anyway?
I mean, I look at the technology sector quite broadly, and my investment universe is not just limited on technology sector, technology, the company by itself. I mean, I consider tech company, you know, any company that the benefit from technology advancement, and you know, so I kind of find ideas in different sectors. Like I find ideas in industrial sectors, financial sectors, and you know, chemical sector. Then you know, I find interesting opportunity is there. Some industrial company integrate their own industrial tech expertise with a digital technology, which can be also quite interesting investment ideas. So yeah, the broad perspective I'm investing in.
Yeah, you're looking across the universe of all kinds of different sectors. Very interesting. And thank you for speaking with us, Hein Hassan, joining us from London today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Fidelity Connects podcast. For more information on future live webcasts, please visit fidelity.ca. Don't forget to follow Fidelity Canada on Twitter and subscribe to Fidelity Connects on your podcast platform of choice.